Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jamie and Stoney on a icy morning here. It makes you think of hockey.
Absolutely. Hockey weather, baby. And the Wings are in Anaheim, which doesn't make you think of hockey.
Joining us now, Darren Pang. He will join former goalies Kevin Weeks and Marty Baron for an NHL Network roundtable program called The Modern Age Goalie. It premieres Wednesday at 7:30. Visit NHLnetwork.com for your local channel listings. And Darren joins us now. Hey, Darren, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Detroit. How is everything going over there?
We're doing good, Mr. I live in Duck Lake half the year. How are you?
I'm doing great. Right about now, I'd like to be over in Duck Lake to see the beautiful snow. You know what? There's something about the look of a lake and snow and maybe the potential of a pond hockey game anytime soon.
We last talked to you, Darren, on the eve of the Stanley Cup Finals between the St. Louis Blues, a team you cover closely, and the Boston Bruins. It went on to be a classic series won by the Blues. What has St. Louis been like ever since?
And is Brett Hull still singing?
Oh, God.
Brett Hull is still making up lyrics like "We Went Blues." He told us a couple of times that he was going to have the time of his life if the Blues ever won, and he had the time of his life. You know what? Life is good here in St. Louis. The Cardinals made a good run at it. They've recently got an MLS team that's going to start in a couple of years, and you know, the Blues winning and having that dream for so many people here, going down Market Street, and what would the parade be like, and what would it be like if they won? I think it's given the city a little bit of confidence, and I think there's a good feeling here. You guys know what those series were like between Detroit and St. Louis, and
yeah,
I was playing in Chicago, you know, in my brief career, and Chicago and St. Louis, they're just great battles. I think the cities have a little bit of despise for one another, and then they have a little bit of, they're proud. It's a proud city here, and for them to finally win a Stanley Cup as a city, it's not maybe a big sense of relief, but a big, wow, we did it. And they're really proud of their hockey players here. They've had a good time, that's for sure.
Speaking of the Blues, did Red Wings general manager and your buddy Steve Eiserman consult with you on the acquisition of Robbie Fabry?
Well, Rob, yeah, you know what? Steve and I talk hockey all the time. It doesn't matter if he's interested in a player or not. We talk about players and what kind of players fit in wherever. And yeah, I've talked to Steve a little bit about Robbie because I really like Robbie Fabry. I always have. I cheer for the kid because he's a competitive kid, and he's he's the kind of kid that when the game's on the line, and I do majority of the games here in St. Louis between the benches. And one thing I found out when the game was on the line and he wasn't on the ice, he wasn't happy. Like, that's the kind of guy he is. He's not a passenger on the bus. He wants to lead the bus. And So, anytime Steve would ask me about a player, or anytime I could bring up Robbie Fabry to any of my friends that are managers, and I thought, especially for Steve too. I mean, I thought Robbie Fabry would be a perfect fit for Detroit. A hungry, motivated, as I said to Steve one point, he's not a prospect. He's a real player. I mean, he had 15 points in 20 playoff games. He just happened to get hurt. And that one injury to his ACL resulted in another injury to the ACL. And that's a bad bit of fortune there. But hopefully that's all behind him now. And judging by the way he started with the Wings, looks good in number 14 and looks like he's flying all over the place.
Yeah, he's the Wings are 2-0 in the Robbie Fabry era. If we had talked to you about a week ago, Darren, I think our line of questioning would have been a lot more along the lines of how long is Jeff Blashill going to stay the Red Wing head coach? Because they were really struggling. I mean, not just losing, but losing badly. And they obviously make things a little bit better with back-to-back wins over Boston and Vegas over the weekend. But are you surprised? Excuse me. Are you surprised by how much they have struggled this season?
Yeah. I think in one sense, yeah. I think, you know,
I mean, again, no one thought this was a playoff team. So I'm not saying that. Are you surprised they're at the bottom of the standings, but how badly they've been losing some of these games?
And I think people have to understand too, that that Steve's patience is his, you know, it's his strength. The willingness to say no to something is a strength of his more than so many other managers. And when I say that, you might say, well, yeah, but they haven't made the playoffs for a few years. They've got to get better. But the fact of the matter is on July 1, that's not the time to make your team better. I mean, there's so many contracts out there that general managers look back at 5 or 6 months or 3 weeks later and go, what did I just do?
Yeah, so we know of him.
Yeah, well, I love the fact that he didn't get latched on to some bad deals. I think he realizes right now that there's some contracts that are going to expire and there's some hockey trades to be made. And so he waited it out and he makes his first hockey trade. And I think it's a heck of a trade. I mean, De La Rose is going to be basically a fourth line player on the St. Louis Blues, and he's going to help come in and out of the lineup, but he's not going to be a difference maker like a Robbie Fabry can be for Detroit, a former first round pick, a guy that can, you know, that can score and make a play. So, but looking back at what you said about Detroit, I'm not trying to avoid the question. I'm just thinking that there's some holes I think on the back end with some older defensemen that, quite frankly, that's the area that needs to be shored up. Everybody knows they've got some really good forwards that are quick and get to plays, and they're hard to play against, and you can see that in the way they play. But it's really just on the back end that just needs to be shored up, and that wouldn't take very much to get that fixed up. And maybe that's next year's UFA allotment. You know, maybe that's where that comes in, or maybe it's just another good hockey trade that Steve makes, and that changes things up on the back end. Because as everybody knows, you can have a lot of young forwards that are fast and can make plays, but the way to win in this league is to defend. The way to win, and as I found out in St. Louis here, they've got some of the biggest defensemen. They box out, but they can all skate, and you protect your goalie and protect the backside of your zone, and that's the way you win hockey games. And that's when Jeff Blashill and Detroit will start winning, when they defend in front of their net a little bit better.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, and I know I don't know how much you want to talk about it, but you are Canadian, the whole Don Cherry deal, getting fired. What's your take on that?
Oh, boy. That's an open – that's first of all, number one, Don's been an icon for so many years, and I know that, you know, throughout the years, things have been said by him that a lot of people, they'll roll their eyes and whatever. I've always felt like when he talks about hockey and the way that hockey should be played or the toughness of hockey, I've always felt like, hey, that's the old school mentality. That's the same mentality that my old coach Brian Kilray in Ottawa would always have, or maybe a guy like Larry Mavity, my coach. So I get that era, but where he went was not the way to go. As soon as I heard him talk about it, I felt like that was a bad direction to go to. So maybe at the end of the day, fellas, that the mistake that was made was having him on the air for as long as he had, because he should be a Hall of Famer, and now it's going to be a question mark because of what he said about something other than hockey, and that's a sad way to end something for me.
We're talking to Darren Pang here on 97.1 The Ticket. Again, NHL Network Roundtable, The Modern Age Goalie, Wednesday at 7:30 with Kevin Weeks, Marty Baron, and Darren. All right, the modern age goalie, Darren. Have we lost the crazy guy, right? The Patrick Waugh, the Ron Hextall.
Ed Belfour.
Is everybody too, like, monotone now? Who is and what is the modern age goalie?
Yeah, well, the modern age goalie is something that thinks the game differently than we did, that is way more even keeled than we are, or we were. Like you mentioned the goaltenders in my era and before my era. Nowadays, these goaltenders can can watch a video clip, halfway through a game on a shooting sequence and take in all the information and go back to the net like it's nothing. In our day, no one talked to the goaltender. We were quite a lonely group on game days. No one wanted to bother us. No one looked at our equipment. No one touched our sticks. Could you imagine a PR guy saying, well, we're going to do an interview before the game, Ron Hextall? I mean, he'd tell you to go jump in the lake. So, I mean, nowadays, I'm amazed. I mean, I watch Jordan Binnington and Jake Allen every day, and I mean, they're just normal human beings. They put on their gear, they go out in the ice, and they have reverse VH, and they have lateral moves, and they talk about different situations, and then they see them, they don't like them, they correct them, and they go to the business again. So it's different, but this is going to be fun because we're going to have some of my equipment, some of Marty Biron's equipment, some of the strategies of goalies now that Marty Biron's way more up to date because he does a lot of goalie clinics and stuff in Buffalo. And so I'll probably learn a little bit or two about some of the nuances of the modern goaltender that I certainly didn't have when I played.
I wish today's goalie could have like the pads that they had back in the 70s and the 80s where guys can actually see some net when they're cranking up a slap shot from the top of the circle.
Yeah, that would be a lot more fun if the pads were shorter. And do you remember the picture I took with Ben Bishop a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
It circulated on social media, and he wore my equipment, and I put his equipment on, and at the end of it, he told me, he said, I wouldn't have worn these pads of yours if I was playing street hockey. The 14-year-olds are so small. I said, well, that pretty much says it all right there.
Hey, Darren, thanks so much for the time. I really appreciate it. We'll be watching Wednesday night, 7:30, in the NHL Network, The Modern Age Goalie with Darren Pang, Kevin Weeks, and Marty Biron. Thanks, Darren.
Yeah, thanks a lot, fellas. We'll see you back in Duck Lake in the summertime.
All right, appreciate it. There he is, Darren Pang, joining us here on 97.1 The Ticket.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.